Search for a Wife. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1. 1816. The Marquis of Milverton alighted from his very up-to-date high phaeton and walked into White's Club, a place he knew he could always meet his friends. At this moment, he needed them badly. White's Club in St. James's Street was undoubtedly the most prestigious club in London. Its many rules of membership were extremely strict, and every member was obliged to agree to obey to all of them. Anyone who was turned down by White's kept it, if possible, a dark secret, as they felt ashamed that they would not shine with the other bucks who had become of great social significance during the reign of the Prince Regent. Among the many illustrious Regency personalities who were members of White's, the Prince Regent himself was the most remarkable. The Marquis had been a member since his father had proposed him when he was old enough, and his uncle and grandfather had been members too. To him, like a great number of his friends, it was a second home to which they went inevitably once or twice a day when they were resident in London. On entering the club, the Marquis nodded to the porters who chorused, "Good morning, my lord." He then made his way into the smoking room, and, as expected, three of his friends were there already, and he expected more would turn up later. Harry, the Earl of Landock, jumped up to greet him. "I thought you would be here this morning, Ivor," he began. "I'm very anxious to know if you're running your horse in the race at Epsom tomorrow." "Of course, I'll be running him, Harry." The Marquis sat down next to the Earl and another of his good friends, Lord Dromont, and ordered a glass of champagne. "You're starting early, Ivor," observed the Earl. "I need it," he answered, "after what I went through last night." Two other friends who had followed the Marquis into the room sat down near Lord Dromont and asked, "What has happened, Ivor?" "I will tell you later. Just now I need sustenance, and nothing is better for that condition than champagne." "We all agree with you there," they chortled. A steward arrived with a large bottle of champagne and started pouring it out, and as he was doing so, two other elegant young gentlemen joined them. "We missed you while you were away, Ivor," one greeted him. "We're longing to hear what happened." "I thought you would be," replied the Marquis. He told his friends before he left for the country to join his family that his uncle was producing an attractive young girl for him. In addition, he was told she was an heiress, and his uncle thought she would make him an excellent wife.
"What was she like?"
the Earl asked breathlessly, as the steward, having filled up their glasses, walked away.
"Ghastly," the Marquis answered.
The word made his group of friends look at him in astonishment.
"Ghastly?" one of them questioned. "But you were told she was a beauty, charming and immensely rich."
"That was the one only attribute that was true about her. She was plain, extremely stupid, and I can never imagine a worse hell than being married to her."
"Yeah, so what did you do about it?"
"I ran away as soon as I could. I have decided I will never stay with my family again until the promise to stop pushing me into matrimony. In point of fact, I cannot stand any more of it."
"Do you think they will listen to you?"
There was a pause before the Marquis responded.
"I would certainly doubt it. But I have no intention of marrying anyone simply because my uncle and the rest of my tiresome relations have chosen her for me. If I do marry, and at the moment it is very doubtful, it will be to someone I really want as my wife."
There was a murmur, and then the Earl said,
"Well, that is just what we all want, Ivor. But you know as well as I do that because we are who we are, we will continue to be pestered, pleaded with, and if at all possible, trapped into matrimony."
"That is true," chipped in Lord Dromont, who had not previously spoken. He was a good-looking man of 26, noted for his vast estate in the Midlands as well as a castle in Scotland. He had been labelled as an important catch ever since he came to London. It was only by sheer dexterity that he had managed not to be pushed up the aisle by his determined relatives or to be caught by ambitious mothers of debutantes. In fact, all the young gentlemen round the Marquis were, as they began to tell him now, continually pleaded with or bullied by their relatives.